Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Thank you for joining us today. And if you have a question for me, Steve Arterburn, or Dr. Alice Benton, or Mark Cameron, well, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. And hello, Alice and Mark.
Hello,
good to see you.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Alice. Hi, Steve. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Tomorrow is Happy Tuesday for me because if you're watching on our New Life Live YouTube channel, you're seeing me hold up the book. That's the brand new book. It publishes tomorrow,
yes.
Every Believer's Thought Life. And it is, it's gotten rave reviews. It's by myself and Marcus Brotherton. And the last time we did a book together, it was Book of the Year. So I think this is a better book than we did before. I hope you'll look at it because everybody has a thought life. And I think everybody's thought life is where the big battles begin. Thoughts lead to action. Thoughts lead to feelings. All of that. And everybody's got a different problem. Someone might have a lust thought life problem. Somebody else, a worry thought life problem. Everything becomes an excuse to be anxious or worried. Others, it's shame. So we try to cover all of that and give you some brand new pathways to forge ahead with a thought life that works for you, not against you. So if you want a copy, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's where you can get it. I think if you give a gift of any amount, I'll send you Every Believer's Thought Life. Alice, you had a thought here?
My family and I are continuing to enjoy Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. My son was just asking about it again the other day, which you wrote previously with the same author. And so we're looking forward to this new book. It's got to help my critical thought life. I can be so critical of myself and other people. And that war we need to fight with our negative and unhelpful thinking, oh gosh, we need all the help we can get. So thank you, Steve.
So true. And also, one of the biggest problems is when we're not aware of what's within us that causes the problem. You know, people are in trouble for two reasons: rationalization and projection. I rationalize that, well, there is nothing that can help me, or I don't really need help, or all these different things. And then projection, you know, once Sylvia changes, then I can, or once I'm treated better, or whatever. I didn't cause this. This was caused by somebody else. I'm projecting it onto somebody else. Those two things, I think, really stick a lot of people where they stay. And we want to help you be free of that. And we're going to do that today when you call us with whatever it is that you want to talk about. By the way, I have a couple of tip sheets for you. One, you know, we're doing Lose It for Life online in March, and it's the 10 myths that can block permanent weight loss. And if you know anything about Lose It for Life, it's about losing it for the rest of your life. And then 6 steps that are necessary for change, and they're from Lose It for Life. And it starts with illumination. And what is that? That's light. God brought light into the world. And when we bring light to our situation, what does it do? It says, oh, I see that now. I have a problem. I see it. It's not somebody else's problem. Might have started with somebody else, but now I see that I have to deal with it. That's the beginning. And then inspiration's number 2. I am inspired to do something about it. and the one that inspires is God, and I ask God to help me. All right, 1-800-229-3000. If you want a tip sheet, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We'll be back right after this with your phone calls. Glad you're with us today on New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. By the way, anybody questioning, what, do we need a book on our thought life? Well, if you look over at Mark 7, 20 through 23, it says this: it is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, like sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. And so it's important that we do what Jesus focused on, and that is work from the inside out. Don't just clean the outside. Because some of us, we look really good on the outside, but we've got some work, some remodeling to do on the inside. You can get this, these tips. You can get the book. It's all at either newlife.com or just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now we're going to go talk with Scott, Phoenix, Arizona, and he watches us on television on NRB Network. Most everybody else could too. Hi there, Scott. How are you today?
Hey, pretty good. Pretty good. What I called about was
intimacy and marriage
next month.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And
okay.
I have a problem with it is that I really don't think my wife will go. And I don't know, if it's a good question for you guys, but I don't think she'll go. And I'm trying to think of things or ways I could tell her, it's a great thing and all that, but that wouldn't move her, I don't think, at all.
Okay.
So I really want to go. I really wish that we could go. And, I don't know what to do about it. And it's coming up pretty fast. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to make arrangements.
Okay. So here's a question. Tell me, what's the worst thing about your marriage that you'd really like to see get better?
The worst thing is that it's just at a place where it's not warm enough. I mean, I think I probably want more than she does, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it's the other way around, but it's just a stalemate, right? We're not necessarily cold-hearted each other, but it's not in a good place, and I'd love it to be more, better, a lot better in as far
yeah.
as, things that we did together and things that we enjoy together and just being close and, like that.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to make a comment. I'm going to turn it over to Alice and then Mark, and then I've got a couple more comments after that. But one of the sad things in the Christian community, well, it's a good thing that turns into a bad thing. The good thing is, we have so many people that are committed to not ever divorce. That's a great thing. But it turns into a crummy thing when we settle, when we just live with whatever we've got and don't do what needs to be done or can be done to make it an absolutely great relationship. And that can happen at intimacy and marriage. It happens all the time. Alice and then Mark.
Scott, I applaud that you are so willing to fight for a marriage and how difficult when your wife is distant and her willingness, her motivation sounds low. Can you think back to the fork in the road where she started to distance herself from you? Why do you think that started to happen?
I guess men are not as, up on things as women sometimes, and I think it went on for a long time. I looking back and thought it's been going on for, I'm suffering more now than I was then, but it's probably been like 10 years or so. It's just, I guess it's the way I handle her in a way, if you that's not a good word exactly, but I mean, I've never abused her or anything like that, or been faithful and everything, but just the things that men don't do, or I, or I, you know, didn't do to make it more of a loving thing. I'm probably the one that failed, and it just kind of gradually got to where it's at now. And
so you might have been emotionally neglectful or emotionally absent for a time.
Yeah. Not so much absent, but ignorant or something. I, you know, like she would used to. She would. She's got a memory like, you know, well, women do as far as anniversaries and things like that. And sometimes I would, you know, I would. She would tell me about our anniversary like 3 days after it was passed, because she remembers and I didn't, and just things like that, I guess.
So she was perhaps hoping you would pursue her more, be more attentive to her heart, to those important dates, but your mind was occupied with other things.
Yeah, a long time ago. Right, and long time ago, I've been trying pretty hard for quite a while now, but it's not hardly moving anything, really.
And she might think that you're trying too little too late?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
yeah,
and
so.
How long have you been married?
We've been married, about 30 years now.
Uh-huh. Okay. So yeah. My suggestions... Finish your thought, Scott.
I'm listening. No, I was just thinking what Steve said about... He made the exact point. He said something about you're not going to get a divorce. You're just going to settle for what you have. And that's where we're at. I don't really think we will. I really don't. But we're settling. I have to settle because that's where it's at. But he mentioned that a minute ago, and I thought, yeah, that's what we're settling right now.
But I hear that you're not ready to settle yet, and you want to make this attempt, although you don't have much hope that it will work. And so, Scott, I suggest that you garner this humility you have, that you know for the first 20 years of marriage, you were inattentive to her, and you were absent-minded about things that were important to her. And that was probably 20
right.
years of emotional loneliness, even though you were physically
right.
present. So, Scott, to make that confession, adding in any of the other things you know that you did intentionally or unintentionally that hurt her, and you want to try to make up for it, and you think this weekend will help clear up your vision and equip you to be a better husband for the years that you have remaining. And so would she consider embarking on this with you because you want to become a better man? You didn't do a good enough job for 20 years. That kind of a humility could warm her heart up a little bit, and it's certainly worth the attempt.
All right, Mark, your thoughts here.
Yeah, Scott, I appreciate that you want to be proactive here. At first, when you were talking about your wife not wanting to go, I was thinking that maybe she was avoidant, but now you explain a little bit more. It sounds like she's hopeless. It sounds like she's been wanting to see a lot of change out of you, and she's just become very, very disappointed. I would also start with asking her what would... one or two things that she'd like to see changed in you. What is one or two practical things that you can start doing now to show her a real effort that you're willing to give and to give her some hope, as well as just as well as inviting her to go to intimacy and marriage. What do you think would be one thing if you said to her, hey, what could I do to be a better husband? What would be one or two things that she might say to you?
I don't know. I'm speaking for her when I say that. I don't think she would be straightly telling me, really.
Yeah, and so you don't have a guess?
I don't know. I've been, trying to be attentive. I've tried to just... I don't know exactly. I really don't know what the... I don't know, huh?
Yeah, so I would start asking that question, and you've been married for a while now, and so I think the lack of answer that you have, I think, also suggests that you don't know her very well. And it sounds like maybe there's some opportunity there to really get to know her by asking her some thoughtful questions. So I would start with that question. Ask her, you know, maybe she'll be surprised just to hear you say that, but ask it with a sincerity to say to her, hey, I want to have a better marriage with you. I don't want to settle. What is one thing that you'd like to see me do that would really make a difference and maybe give you some hope that our marriage could be better if we attend intimacy and marriage?
Yeah, that's a very good approach. And here's another thing you might just say to her. Honey, I am more aware of where I have really fallen short in this marriage than ever before. And here's the other thing I'm aware of. There are things I'm not aware of, mm-hmm. even.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And I've been listening to New Life, and this intimacy in marriage intensive helps people that like each other, don't like each other, hate each other, and even people that have already divorced, and they have such a success rate, not of just people staying together, because we're going to stay together, but people that thought a new way of being marriage wasn't possible. And I think I've just drained you from all of the disappointment that you've had, and I want us to go because I want us to see what is possible. I really do believe when they say, and the people that have gone have said, this changes everything. And I'll tell you this, Scott. I would tell you, if I knew of anything that was more effective or powerful, I'd say go do that first. But I don't know of anything. Now, that's a pretty big statement right there. I don't know of anything the two of you could do that would give you the kind of insight you're going to get and the inspiration to live out a marriage that's very, very different. And I believe that because of the numerous people that have told me it changed everything for us. Those are the kind of things I would be saying to her. And I also might finish up by saying this. I could understand why you wouldn't want to go to something. You just mm-hmm. want me to go to something. Well, I can't go to this by myself. If you could just do this one thing for us, I would sure be grateful. All right. Well, I hope that's helpful to you.
It is. It really is. I've had in my heart that I know this is a good thing, but I've been having this lack of faith that I can get her there.
Scott, you have over a month before that weekend happens. Let us connect you with a counselor so that you can start to show her now how much you mean business, which may help her decide to go with you then.
Yeah. Tell her I'm going to start counseling, and then for us to do this together. It really could change everything. I'm so glad that you called. Now, Mylon and Kay are going to be doing Intimacy and Marriage for the last time live with New Life. They're cutting back on a lot of things. And if you've ever said, well, I should go sometime, this is the time to go. And you call us. If you have financial struggle, there are scholarships that are available. We can help you. Don't let money stand in the way. But it's a powerful, powerful weekend, and we're just going to watch people transform. We get to watch people transform over that weekend. It's kind of a supernatural thing because God is there. We don't do it. God does it, and we're fortunate enough that God uses us in the process of transformation. 1-800-229-3000, if you want to join us. Let's go to Shirley. And Shirley is calling from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, at that. Hi there, Shirley. How are you?
Oh, tormented.
Tormented. What's tormenting you?
My second husband passed away.
Okay.
I had two husbands, and they both passed away.
Oh.
His son... And in the meantime, my mother passed away at the same time, and I inherited her house. His son has a daughter who is my granddaughter, and I allowed them to move into my mother's house. And it's difficult getting him to pay, you know, rent and everything.
Right.
And I finally gave up, and I let his father deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he dealt with it up to 2 years ago when he passed away.
Okay.
And I wanted him to be reassured because his father passed away. It wouldn't change. He could still stay there. And I love having my granddaughter there.
Yeah.
And then I have another granddaughter and grandson that live close.
Okay, and so what's the question for us here?
Okay, the question is,
I'll tell you what, I've got to go to this break. You hold that question. We'll get it right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Come join us. We'll give you the best help that we have available for you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Shirley. And Shirley, as I think about this, what you're dealing with is your stepson isn't paying to stay in the house, and you're torn because you love having the grandkids there, and you don't know what to do. Is that right?
Yeah, but I finally, because my personality is I can't confront people.
Uh-huh.
And I went to him after his dad died because he wasn't paying the rent, but I told him I love having him there. I didn't want him to leave. He doesn't pay half as much as what should be.
Uh-huh.
I pay all the bills, but I can't pay both. So I finally gave him a notice and told him I'm going to sell the house, and that's it. I can't confront him anymore. I can't keep running after him.
Right. Okay.
But none of the kids will let me see the children, and I'm all alone. I miss the kids so much.
Well, that's one of the cruelest things. It's just one of the cruelest things ever. And it is so dishonoring of his father. Such a dishonor of his father. And if I was talking with him myself, I would say, why don't you honor your father and allow your kids to be with a wonderful grandmother who loves them and cares for them. Now, I can't control him, and you can't control him. All you can do is do the right thing. And I think you've done the right thing. And if this is the same as has happened before, once the house is sold and everything is a done deal, you might be able to see the kids again. Like right now, he's not letting you because he's trying to get a better deal from you, trying to get you to, you know, kind of fall back into the old way of being. But once that is not an option, I'm hoping things can get better. Alice, Mark, what are your thoughts here?
Sure. Wait, the other thing is the other granddaughter won't let me see my great-grandchildren. It's like blood is thicker than water, and they've all banded against me and won't let
so
me
sad.
See the kids.
Oh, it's just devastating. You've lost so many people with the passing of your husband and your mother to also lose contact. It just tore your heart out, Shirley. Shirley, do
my daughter too.
Oh,
sure.
No.
My daughter died the same year.
Oh, Shirley.
So sad. Well, what can we do to help her?
Well, Shirley, do you know if the selling of the house is the only rupture for which they have separated from you? Do they have any other significant complaint against you? That's what I would wonder. I would do an evaluation of my relationship with them, because this is absolutely shocking that they're responding in this way. So evaluate, was there any other historical rupture that had not yet been resolved from your side of things? Then you might also evaluate the way in which you told them you would sell the house. Because although I agree you completely have the right to sell the house, there can be ways we bring it up with a better plan, a longer-term compromise, in order to ease that major change if there had been years of allowing him not to pay sufficient rent. Because your grandchildren are in the mix, consider evaluating that with a therapist, with a third party to look for, was there anything else that that you were able to own, that you are able to own or take responsibility for the sake of reestablishing relationship with the grandkids?
Well, and hearing that, we're also aware that he's proven not to be a person of character. Just the fact that he did two things. One, he didn't pay what he needed to be paying and didn't care. And then now he doesn't let you see the grandkids. So I'm just thinking, no matter what you say or try to fix or redo, he's not going to respond because he is not a man of character. And I don't want you to beat yourself up here, because nobody's perfect in a relationship. Mark, you have some thoughts here before we go to break?
Yeah, I think I agree with you both here, in the sense that it really does sound like you've done a lot here, Shirley. And I would think that a good son, a good son-in-law, would honor you and would do the right thing and would pay rent in the right way. But it also sounds like, you know, from what you're saying, that you've been a little hesitant to confront. And sometimes I find that when people are hesitant to confront, not a lot gets said in there, not everything gets said. And so I would agree with Alice too, in the sense of trying to evaluate, or maybe trying to go back and ask and see if there's another hurt that is there. But I think what I would also suggest for you here, Shirley, is to try and find a grief group, because it sounds like you've just had so much loss going on in your life.
Too much loss, yeah.
Yeah, and again, that coupled with losing your grandkids here too, potentially, I think just having a group to kind of process some of that pain in, I think will be helpful for you.
Well, I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible and the workbook on grief, and I hope that that will be of help to you. There are people online, by phone, or in person that you could connect with. You need people other than these folks that have gone away. You need some folks that can love you and support you and help you. And many times, a great church is where we can begin to have those connections. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number. And joining us right now, Larry Sonnenberg, and we just had an Everyman's Battle workshop. This next one, Everyman's Battle, is February the 4th, and that's going to be online. And that's... you know, it's a way for folks that can't travel to experience the content. And also, you're broken up into groups. And we hope that you'll think about Every Man's Battle for February the 4th. But what do you have for us here, Larry?
Well, a couple things, Steve. Thanks. One is Club New Life. I just want to talk about that for a minute, because on Thursday, we'll be doing a first of our quarterly gatherings for Club New Life members. So if you'd like to be a part of that and you're a Club New Life member, You should have received an invitation by now, and if you didn't, please let us know.
And let me just mention, Larry, that I'm going to be, we'll do question, answer, we're going to hear from folks, but I'm also going to present, and I haven't presented on this anywhere before, toxic tribal affinity. That's what I'm going to, I'm working on a book on toxic tribal affinity. You'll find out all about that and why so many stupid things are being done by smart people. That's what we're going to talk about.
If I wasn't going to come already, Steve, I'd come just to hear what that's about. I think that's a great topic.
All right.
And so I just want to encourage people, if you if you'd like to hear this, join us in Club New Life, $35 a month. We've recently raised that from $30 to $35, but we're willing to grandfather $30 in if it's a hardship to raise it to $35.
It's not easy in this day and age to give.
Yeah.
But we want you to be part of the giving family so you can be part of the transformation that's ongoing here.
Right. Amen. Anyway, that's this Thursday, and it's 5 o'clock on the West Coast, 8 o'clock on the East Coast, and translated in between on the different time zones.
Yeah, translate that.
Yes.
What else, Larry?
We've got emotional freedom coming up.
Yeah.
Online one day. And this gentleman wrote, I think it was a gentleman, might have been a lady. She says, I've had a shattered heart. No, here it is. At the beginning of 2021, I remembered hearing Steve Arterburn ask a caller why they hadn't attended a workshop. What was keeping them from doing it? It touched my heart and asked myself the same question. In March, I attended the online Emotional Freedom Workshop. It was so helpful, and I realized there's more work for me to do in order to become a healthier person. It's quite a long testimony, but that just speaks, you know, think about it, folks. How often do we encourage people to come and join in on one of our workshops?
Yeah.
Have you ever asked yourself, how come I haven't done that? And it was real simple, this lady. You know, hey, that's a good question. So it's not too late. It's a very good workshop. Chris and Jackie and Steve do this, and it is powerful in one day. Just that's a really good word that describes this. It's powerful.
If you've got emotional stuckdom, we can give you emotional freedom. That is our promise to you. Don't stay stuck.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what you're struggling. Come and struggle with us, and we'll help you.
Right.
All right. That's about it.
Thank you, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us. Join Club New Life, one-time gift. However you can help us, please. And then however we can help you, well, we've been working on workshops for a lot of years here to give you the best possible chance for transformation. You can find out about all of that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Let's go back to the phones. And let's talk to Sally from Anchorage, Alaska. Sally, how are you today?
I'm okay, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to get to talk to you. I've been watching Living in Alaska, where people buy houses in Alaska, and I'd like to move there. I mean, it's just beautiful in the summer, but how could we help you today? What's going on in your life?
My daughter, my adult daughter, recently disclosed to me that my husband, her stepfather, sexually assaulted her 10 years ago. She was an adult then also. She's 49 now. She's 39 when it happened. I've since moved out of the house. I'm living with her, and I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place because part of me really wants to go back to him. I miss him very much. And part of me wants to never see him again. Mm-hmm. And it seems like if I choose one, then the other one is, I lose the other one.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. What was his response when all of this came up?
When we confronted him, he denied it. He said he never touched her. He said she was in the house. He was entertaining some work dignitaries from D.C., and usually we would host them at our house or a friend's house. And the dinner, I was away from the house. My sister was dying in Minnesota, so I was with her. And so he asked my daughter to come over and help host the dinner. She did. She drank too much wine and vodka toast and went upstairs to the guest room and passed out. When the party was over and the guests left, the 22-year-old young man who was living with us for a couple of years and going to college went upstairs to check on her. She threw up all over the place. And my husband says he cleaned her up and put her back in the guest room. She says she remembers him. She remembers throwing up. She remembers being in our bed and him touching her sexually. And when he got up to take a shower, she left.
Okay.
The young man, the 22, says that she was having sex with him all night. And so we don't know who to believe.
The 22-year-old man said she was having sex with him. He said that.
Yes. Well, yes, he found that out. We found that out about a month later. My husband called him and talked to him.
Yeah. And your daughter is... And your daughter's saying, no, that's not true. It was my stepfather.
Yes, she says that she did have an affair with a 22-year-old for 2 years, but it was all sex, no emotions. She says it was because she was going through a messy divorce and she was lonely. So judgment aside on what she did there, there is a possibility that she is confused who is doing what.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to save my suggestion to the end. But, Mark, let's start with you. This is a tough one. Very, very tough one. What do you think?
Yeah, this is really tough. And you know, I don't want this to sound the wrong way here because we want to believe people who make a significant claim like this. But is there any reason why you would question your daughter's account of what happened?
My adult daughter's account?
Mm-hmm.
At first I believed her totally, but now I'm wondering whether her mind was the effect of alcohol and it has confused the facts. She also had been assaulted as a 10-year-old in my house by my mother's cousin who was a Catholic priest. So the topic has come up that sometimes when you're assaulted as a child, you don't know how to process that. And so it can come back later and get confusing as to what's really happened. She's also disclosed she's been sexually assaulted by other men, which I was not aware of. She's never received counseling for any of that except for the 10-year-old thing.
Okay.
And Sally, you said you're separated from your husband now. Why are you separated from him?
Yes, I moved out when I found out what
you,
my daughter
when you found disclosed. It when your daughter disclosed this, then you moved out and you've been separated from your husband since.
Right. I went to counseling with him and shared with him what she told me, and he categorically denied it, said that she threw up, he helped clean her up, but he never touched her.
Sally, has he gotten into any structured therapeutic help, even though he denies this? Is he seeking any professional help?
He and I are still going to counseling, our regular counseling, and we're going to counseling with a pastor, and we are friends with our pastor. The two pastors both do not believe her and thinks we should get together sooner than later.
Okay, let me ask you this. Here's the question. If this was not true, is there anything else in his life that would say this he has a problem with lust or a problem with anything like that? Is this kind of consistent with the man or not consistent with the man you knew? Which one is it?
I don't think he's ever had an affair with anyone since we've been married for 18 years. But he is very flirty and he's very, I've approached him many times in counseling and outside of counseling about his relationship with other women in that he just flirts a lot. And he says it means nothing, but it hurts me a lot.
He doesn't respect you. All right. Well, we're going to try to give you some really good help after this. It's a tough one. We'll be back.
The final
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Sally. Really tough situation here. Alice, what are you thinking here after you've heard all of this? What's your thought?
Sally, you do have one of the more complicated, painful situations that we have heard of. And we put our heads together during the break. We want you to prayerfully consider asking for a polygraph test, a lie detector test, that your husband would participate in it and that your daughter would also have one. Given that everybody has omitted information at times or minimized things that were true, it is pretty much impossible to know what the truth is. Polygraph tests are imperfect, right, but a person's willingness to participate in them is revealing. It doesn't always mean innocence, but it is revealing. The fact that your husband continues to attend therapy is a very good sign, and your daughter has been resistant to therapy. We know she's abused alcohol at times. And so you cannot know the truth, and I think it's a legitimate, although it'd be a painful request to make of them, that to help you know what to do, would they be willing to go through a polygraph test? How do you think they would both respond to that?
My other daughter has asked my husband that, and he said yes, he would. I've not approached this daughter about it yet.
No. Well, I think she's that is hurtful. A very good sign, and I would proceed with that with him. And and I think he's going to sense that, you know, you're really troubled by this, and you might have made some assumptions that you're questioning. And I would hope that he would say yes, and I think he, you know, I hope he would pass that. And then you would ask her to do the same thing, whether she is willing or not. But his willingness to do it says something. It doesn't say everything, but it does say something. And the other thing is I really do believe in pastoral counseling for so many things. But as we've said, this is a really tough situation here. It's not like we hear all the time. And I would suggest that you let us find a really good, trained, licensed counselor. You don't have to quit seeing your pastor, but I think you need somebody that really specializes in situations like yours. I'd like to try to find that for you. And the other thing that I want to do is I just want to send you and your daughter a copy of Healing is a Choice and Take Your Life Back and see if those could be helpful. But we always want to listen when people have a complaint about sexual abuse or anything like that. But this is a really strange situation, and I think your husband, given all that we've heard, deserves more consideration than normally would be given. Mm-hmm. Alice?
When there is a victim, we do need to give them the benefit of the doubt first,
yes,
and foremost, because the protection has to be so much heavier on that side. And so that is the basic rule of thumb. And any request for a polygraph to your daughter have to be accompanied by the acknowledgement that you absolutely know she has gone through sexual abuse in her life.
Yes.
And if you realize that your attempts to help or protect were less than they should have been, an acknowledgement of that as well. So go,
right,
very heavy on grace, yeah, and light on the request.
Yeah,
so good.
I just think you need more information in this at this juncture, Sally. And I would suggest, yes, taking your husband up on taking the polygraph test, seeing if you can go to counseling with them both, if they're both willing to go to counseling. And I think as you see their characters changing, I think more of the truth will come out.
Yeah. All right. So glad you called, and we'll send Healing is a Choice and Take Your Life Back both. Oh, dear. I was going to go to that call, and it went away. But we're going to talk right here with Dan. He's a Club New Life member, and oh, are we ever glad that he is. And he listens to us on the app. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Good. What's going on?
There, you know, I got the text saying you were taking calls for the next 2 hours, and I thought, what the heck? Why don't I go?
Yeah, why not?
never expecting to get on the radio, but here we are. This, I hope this is of value to someone else, because it is 6 years in my rearview mirror. But my most recent wife, we moved into the marriage way too soon, way too quickly, and I come to find out that she is borderline personality disorder. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a tough diagnosis, mm-hmm. but in your book, and I've read all your books, you list 7 or 8 different criteria that would lead you to believe that they are borderline. She hit the nail on the head with each and every one of them.
Okay.
And it was this thing that anything that was negative would turn her in from a princess to just a tiger, just uncontrollable. You know what I'm saying.
Okay, so we don't have a lot of time, so I want to hear your question. I want to help you here.
Well, the real reason I'm calling is that recently, and I study up on this, because God has this sense of humor.
Okay, you're going to have to get to that question, because I'm almost out of time.
Ketamine treatment.
Okay. And you want to know if that's effective, and she's doing that?
I want to know if that's something you support.
Okay. And is she taking ketamine? Is that what she's doing?
No, I don't know what she's doing. This was 6 years ago, and I'm just rethinking. If this were had been available 6 years ago, would this have made a difference in our situation?
Yeah, well,
and
you know,
ketamine therapy is an infusion of a psychedelic.
Yeah, we are into everything, but people infusing psychedelics and hoping for a good result. We think that there's a way to experience some kind of instant relief, but we're not into that. We're into transformation that is lasting. So quick comment from Alice and from Mark. And
I do know of anecdotal information of psychedelics administered by professionals, by psychiatrists and medical care providers being somewhat helpful when they come along with the addition of structured professional help, mental health therapy. And so I do know of some cases where it has helped with depression and anxiety. But I would go the route of talk therapy first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what I would say, Dan, to answer your question without directly answering your question about ketamine is I would say that I do know of other therapies such as DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy, that is specifically designed for somebody who has borderline personality disorder, and that might be something that you might have your wife look into. And for yourself, it's a very challenging personality disorder to live with someone who has, and I would seek out a support group, maybe even if you can seek out a DBT groups that have support groups for people who live with someone who has BPD.
All right. I hope that's helpful. You know, we just believe that there are so many different elements that need to be addressed that to just jump over and take a psychedelic drug, it's just not the complete help that people want and that we recommend. We believe it that there are many physical problems when it comes to chronic depression, for instance, and they have many psychological symptoms. And we believe that at the heart is a spiritual foundation for them to be treated. It's truth. All truth is God's truth. And we're not out there doing crazy things. We're doing truth-based things. If you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us on the next program, 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.